Welcome back. Thanks for listening. I hope you listened to all the other ones first. This is being the latest one. You should probably listen to all the other ones. But before I get started today, I'm going to read out a verse from Matthew chapter 6. Starts at verse 5. So at the start of chapter 6, if you go through your Bible, it talks about from the very start of chapter 6, giving to the needy. That is a basic thing that you should all be doing. See someone in need, help. And God will see that you're helping because you see the need. And then God, when he sees your need, he gives to you. Which is why in Matthew chapter 6, and it is in that very order, after giving to the needy, it talks about prayer. And in that very verse, in that very piece of Matthew chapter 6, when it talks about prayer, God says that he sees what you need in your heart, and he knows what you need before you even ask of it in prayer. So we can sum all that up and say there's a common worldly saying that says you get what you give, and what goes around comes around. Do to others what you would want others to do to you. There's many ways of saying it. But here in Matthew chapter 6, so it's giving to the needy. Then after that, talks about prayer. Then after that, talks about fasting. Then treasures in heaven. So Matthew's teaching in chapter 6 in the order in which you should be learning it. Giving to the needy in prayer and then fasting. So if you want your prayers to be a little stronger and your sincerity is heard by God, you fast. And when you do all this, you are gathering treasures in heaven. Yeah, so that's why it's done in that order. So we're going to skip the whole giving to the needy thing, because that's pretty self-explanatory. I just explained it. If you read it yourself, man. Just open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 6 and read it yourself. But let's just going to read out a bit of from verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. So we could change that to churches. Standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, like street preachers, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees you, what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Okay. What's after that? This then is how you should pray. So we've been practicing the Our Father's Prayer for a while now. So let's just do it and then get on with what I was actually going to talk about. Okay, so Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Righty. So I hope that explains a few things. Now, what I was going to talk about today, was that. And it just fell upon my heart to talk about giving to the needy and prayer. So I've been trying to teach my family for a while now to give. I explain to them, when you give, you get back. So you're not going to get anything that you need unless you've given to others first. which is why Matthew's got that in chapter 6, just before prayer. And you heard what it said in verse, because God knows what's on your heart anyway. He sees your needs. So you wander around town, you see needs of others. So you help others with their needs, God helps you with yours. That's how it works, okay? So, that's that. That's that done. Just felt we should go over that before we do the Our Father's Prayer, so you know a little bit about why that prayer is there. So, that's done. The seal. Last episode, last recording. It's not a bloody TV series, so I'm not going to call them episodes, but in the last recording, I explained picking up that angel, and he said I was from tribe Naphtali. Now, in Revelations, it tells how 12,000 from each tribe, 12 tribes, receive a seal of God. And so that's recently happened. So if you go through Revelations and you find it, it says there that the angel from the east comes down from heaven and shouts out to the four angels holding back the winds, stop, until we have sealed those servants of the Most High in their foreheads. So the four angels, they let go, and the angel comes down from the east with God's seal. He places it in the foreheads of 12,000 from each tribe. Further on in my recordings, one of the first ones, I'm explaining the meeting of Jesus. Further along, as I get older, came by the driveway. Angel gave me a bit of growling. I explained that why in that recording briefly. And so here we are. So it's starts out that my wife's a good wife, man. I prayed for her when I was a child, ever since I was young. Actually, a little bit, not long after God took away my pain. That's in the first episode, I think. Our first recording. So, as I'm getting older, being raised by my Catholic grandparents and parents, told that, you know, you got to be married and be good, you know, follow the commandments of God. So I'm learning these commandments in church, and I'm learning that you got to pray. And so I start praying for my wife. Anyway, life goes on, and I meet her, and she said the same thing to me. She prayed, and we met and had a family, and so she's awesome, and she's telling me, you know, you got to read your Bible and pray. Anyway, I said to her, hey, it's been on my heart. I think it might be just, you know, Holy Spirit and an angel or someone's telling me to read Genesis and Revelations. And so I'm struggling to do this. My wife, awesome wife, being my awesome wife, she says, you should read John. And start with John. I says, no, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to start in Genesis. She says, oh, do whatever you got to do. So she says to me, clear a table and we've got a Strong's Concordance, and so I'll find a few Bibles in the house, and Strong's Concordance, I'll make the study table. So I start out reading there, and it's uncomfortable. There's a nice chair in the corner, and my wife clears off all my crap I piled up on it, and clothes, it's like my washing basket, slash drawer, slash everything. She clears it all up for me, because she's awesome like that. And so I've got this nice chair to sit in a huge room, giant, about the size of a small flat. And so we clear that off, and I'm sitting in my nice chair that was actually given to me. So people were going to throw it out. Oh, okay, sweet as, I'll take it. So I've got this nice chair that was given to me, sitting in the corner by our bed, and I'm sitting there reading Genesis every day. And so I'm told, I don't hear it audibly. It's just like a knowing deep within. I just knew I should read Genesis and Revelations. So I was reading Genesis and reading Genesis, and I kind of carried on from Genesis to Levi. Oh, it's Exodus. Genesis to Exodus to Numbers to Levi. So I just carry on. Was it Levi, Numbers? It doesn't matter. Four books of Moses. I read all of them, mostly. I skipped a lot of the boring bits. Those are probably the important bits, and I'm going to go back and look at them. And so I carried on through reading them all, and a little bit of Hebrews, and then I went to Revelations. So this took me, I'm a really slow reader. I don't know why God's getting me to read the Bible, because I'm like insanely slow. That took me a month after work, and you know, just on my days off, I'm sitting there in my chair and reading and reading and reading and as much as I could. Didn't quite get it. And I read Revelations, and I got a bad habit of when I start reading, I just sort of carry on, and because I'm slow, and I'm reading into the night, like, you know, midnight comes along, going to sleep at 10 or 11 is early. Usually it's 1 in the morning. And so I'm sitting there reading Revelations, and I don't know how far through I was, but I was in Revelations. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Bang, this thing goes in my forehead. I felt it. It felt like I was just having a major dizzy spell, but not a worldly dizzy spell. It wasn't like that. It was like nothing I ever felt before. It was weird. I could distinctively feel that seal going in. I felt it going in. I could even feel the size of it going in. About the size of a small cup, like a kiddie's plastic tumbler. Yeah, about that big. And I felt it. I felt it's actually quite big. Well, I don't know. I suppose I should find a ruler. Hang on. Measuring tape, and I'll tell you how big it felt. And so I suppose all the spiritual folk around the world, they could see it because it's to protect us from evil. They'll probably see it. I've seen some people look at me sideways, like with their eyeballs pop open, you know. It's like, oh, I don't know. You probably can see it. So I'm pretty sure it was about 50 mil in size, like a giant stamp. Yeah, that makes sense. It is a seal of God. 40 to 50 mil in diameter. And it went in quite... I felt it slide in. It was like as if it was about maybe 40, 50 mils thick. Maybe 30. But I felt it go in for a little ways. Spiritual seal in there. And I knew almost immediately what had happened. Almost straight away, I knew what happened. And the weird thing was, me and my wife, we were talking about Naphtali for about a year or so. And in the tribes of Israel, which is probably why Angel was telling me to look it up, or the Holy Spirit was urging me, putting it on my heart to read Genesis and Revelations. And it just felt like I should have gone through all the books of Moses and a bit of Hebrews, because it all ties up with the history of the Hebrew Israelites and God's people, and the 12,000 from each tribe that received the seal. So it makes sense that I needed to have been reading it, and then when it happened. So I'm sitting there in my Bible, and it goes in the early hours of the morning, and what was my wife doing? She wasn't there. At the time, we both weren't sleeping very much. Actually, we barely slept much anyway. But she was somewhere else in the house, and I'm in our room, and there's a front door right there, a door to the room to go outside and into the driveway. So we're right there in our room, and the driveway's right there. And it goes in, and I sort of knew what had happened, and I'm wondering where the angel is. So I'll go run outside and see if I see the angel. And I knew to just keep my hand holding that word of God. And so I'm holding the word of God, and I walk out into the driveway, and it's black, man. It's like I could barely see nothing. So I walk out there, and I could see where the driveway is and where the fence is, and I'm looking up. I'm trying to see this angel. There's some lights on in the house upstairs. This is a two-story house, and I'm downstairs. I'm at the bottom. And some lights on, and I'm thinking, oh, no, what if the angel was here for Nan, and that wasn't the seal? So I'm thinking, what the? And so I'm looking up, waiting to see an angel, and there's no, I couldn't see anything. But the odd thing was, I could feel heaven around me. I could smell it. It was like a sweet, sweet smell. I could smell that angel. And I knew that the angel was there. I just couldn't see the angel. So I walked back in, sit down, and start praying. And asking how come I couldn't see the angel. And immediately I get this answer, like I'm hearing. It's like a telepathic conversation with the angel. And so angel was saying to me, not audibly. I have heard an angel tell me to pray audibly once, but this particular occasion it was like a telepathic, empathic type connection. And I could feel in my heart, I could feel it in my spirit, that it was beautiful. Holy Spirit and angel saying to me that I know what happened by faith, and if I have to see the angel with my physical eyes, that's showing a lack of faith. Now, it wasn't in these words. It was more of I don't even know how to explain how they explained it to me. But it was, the way I was told was like, it was an empathic, telepathic, like, connection of, like, all this beautiful love. I don't know how to explain that either. But I knew that if I had to see the angel, that it was a lack of faith, and that when it gets to heaven, it's not going to be as good. But if I believe by faith what happened, and I know what happened, because I know what happened, and that was enough. And when I get to heaven, it'll be better, okay? It's just... So I sat there after hearing that, after talking and holding my Bible still. I'm still holding it. My hand's still in where I was reading. I had used one of my fingers in my hand to mark where I was reading. I'm still holding it there. And the angel says, if you want to see, come out now and see. And I sat there thinking about it, wondering. Hang on, I've got to believe by faith. I don't need to see with my eyes. If I go out and look, it's not going to be so good and get there. And if I just believe, do I need to see? I know what happened. So I'm thinking that this is going through my head. I know what happened. I don't really need to. I'm fine. And then the angel says, I've got to go. Too late. And I didn't say too late. It just says, I've got to go. And my angel couldn't wait any longer. I didn't say that, but that was what I was getting. Couldn't hang around any longer. You know, he's got a lot of people to go and see, man. You know, it's like 143,999 others. Not the first. I don't know where I was on that list, but there's thousands of others to go and see, right? The angel's got other work to do, I suppose, after that. The angel's always busy. They deserve so much blessings and protection. And man, I hope God blesses them mighty. So, yeah. Angel left because I sat there thinking about it too long, and in the end I think I made the right decision. So after that, it was odd, because after receiving that, reading the Bible, it changed. For a lot of people, they read the Bible and it's easy for them to try and understand what it means. But after having the seal, I felt that reading the Bible was, I could understand it. It's like I was learning what everything meant as I was reading it. It was odd. And I could read like half a book, you know, like 5 or 6 chapters at a time, and I was told what it meant as I was reading it. It was odd, and it was like I didn't want to stop, but I had to get sleep. And so after that happened, my wife kept saying, "Hun, hun, stop, you gotta go to sleep." Because, you know, my chair's at the end of the bed, and I've got a lamp or torch or something, and reading the book and reading the word, and she's just right there trying to sleep. She was snoring at times, and you wake up and, "Oh, well, you're still there. Come to bed. It's late. You got work. I'll go to bed." But I never had that urge to just keep reading and keep reading. I did once, a few times in my life, but that was because I was determined. I think I was like about 18, 19 at the time, and I was determined to learn Revelations. Oh, no. I did try Revelations then. But I was more so into Psalms and Proverbs back then. And my stepfather, this fellow Gert, would say to me to read Acts. He had this Bible where it was marked up with highlighters. Like he was devout at one point in his life. I don't know if he is now, but I don't even know if he's still alive. But he was a good man. And, sorry about that. Someone just tried to call. I should turn calls off, or at the very least, turned off the ringtone. See, these things happen when you're doing things, talking about Bible and teaching others, interferences come along. But so the seal went in, and my urge to read the Bible went up, and my understanding of what I was reading went up. And I did notice a massive notable difference in my understanding of and what the Bible had to offer and teach. And that went on for quite a long time. But God, there's verses in the Bible that say he will only give to you that which you can withstand, that which you can handle. And that is in every aspect of life. That goes for trials, blessings, people helping you, you helping them. Believe it or not, that's actually a thing. You accepting help from others and you helping other people. So people come into your life that you can handle in both directions. You give and you receive. And he will only do as much as what you can handle. And that also goes for Bible learning. And so my ability to absorb the learning was high when I first got the seal. And not long after that, there was the anointing. I think it was a few weeks. It wasn't long. And after that, my ability to, like, I naturally just slowed down in reading. Because, I needed sleep, and I still needed to go to work to, we got things, food and power and whatever else to pay for, vehicle. And so we still, my absorption started slowing, and my understanding started slowing, and it went right down to like about a chapter. So even now I could read about a chapter in a Bible, and I can get it, and Holy Spirit or an angel, someone's telling me what it means, and then I can teach others. And so at the moment, it's just I'm telling my children, and every now and again I come across someone that, I don't know, tell them. And Yeah, it's slow. The anointing. We should probably talk about that. So, a couple weeks after Seal went in. Oh, I don't remember now. It was about 2 weeks, maybe three. It wasn't long. And I'm still going to work. And I know that I can't work much anymore. I'm supposed to be reading Bible and learning it. And so my son-in-law James is doing most of the work, and my daughter Nina. So they're going to work, and they're doing the work, and I'm giving them pretty much everything. I pay from the work, and this particular day, I get James to drive me. So we load up his car, and we're starting to go to work on his car. And that's normally how the days would go. I'd drive my van or his car, or he would drive his car with me in it. So we're going to do quotes on his car. I'm going to see a customer. I say to him, hey, today you got to drive, and I'm going to sit in the passenger seat of your car. Okay, we've got to go do a couple of quotes. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay. So just down the road from our house, we go around a few corners down main road, going down a hill, and there's a roundabout. It's like a crossroad. It is a crossroad. There's a roundabout in the middle, a little roundabout. We're going down there. And so Angel, Holy Spirit, tells me that morning to sit in the passenger seat, and James can drive. So, all right, we've done that. We're going through this roundabout. All of a sudden, there's this stuff dripping on my head, right in the middle of my head. And I look up at his roof, and I say to him, James, is there a leak in your house, in the roof of your car? He goes, no, not that I know of. I says, oh. He says, why? I says, well, something just went on my head. So I'm looking up to see where the hole in the roof is. There's no hole. I put my hand on my head, and I could feel the stuff on my head. I said, oh, no, this stuff is something on my head. And I rubbed my finger in it, and, huh? He sees I'd be doing all this. Put my hand back on my head and my fingers together. I can't see anything. There's nothing there, but I know it's there. He smiles, and I think he probably knew what happened before I knew. Judging by the smile. And so I rub my fingers together. So I can't. It's oil. Put my hand back on my head like a third time. That's oil. Oh, I just got anointed. I realized what happened. The angel probably told me. I just got anointed. And it was on that crossroad. There's something about crossroads. Some people probably know things about crossroads and spirits and angels and all those bad dudes. You know the one. All those stories about crossroads. I saw such and such on a crossroad. And blah, 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 crossroad, the bad guy. You just fill in the name yourself. Don't say it out loud. But, so the angel was there, anointing me. Probably why I was told to sit in the passenger seat. And so I've done that. And there could very well be people listening to this saying, you got told this, you got told that, but it wasn't audibly. Blah, 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 blah. Well, it's just that. Blah, blah. Just because you get told things audibly, it doesn't mean everyone else does. And just because I can hear the angel telepathically or empathically or whatever the heck the world wants to call it, it doesn't mean everyone else is gonna. I do. A few of my other brothers and sisters do. It doesn't mean you're gonna. And just because you hear audible doesn't mean we're gonna. There are 12 disciples. 12 different ways of doing something, 12 months of the year, 12 hours of the day. Break that down and relate it to spiritual ways. So there's 12 different ways of hearing, learning, understanding, doing. Okay, why do you think he chose 12? And 12 sons of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 whole tribes of this. 12,000 from each tribe. Keeps coming up. And so, yeah, I knew a lot of things to sit in the passenger seat, knew it was a seal, knew the angel was in the driveway, but he left. Holy Spirit, could have been Holy Spirit was telling me to sit in the passenger seat, could have been it was the angel. Doesn't matter, it happened. So that was the seal, and that was the anointing. And I just realized we should probably look up, I'm going to look up different ways in which angels and Holy Spirit communicates with us, talks with us, tells us to do things we don't really need to. It's the end of days, and well, that's enough. So, other recordings that I should really talk about is things that came back, some memories keep coming back, and I should talk about it. I should tell you about it. My wife said one of them was a really good testimony about enemies being destroyed before you. Talks about that a lot in Deuteronomy, all through the Bible. You know, pray and bless your enemies, Jesus said. But before Jesus came, the Hebrew Israelite enemies were destroyed quite harshly. And it is a very real thing. Throughout my life, I've had quite a lot of enemies, and they've all been scattered to the wind, and their lives destroyed because of things that they tried to do to me and my sister and my family. Now I've got wife and children. People that have tried to come against us, they've been utterly destroyed. And you get to see them later years. And God deals with their lives in such a way as that they cannot do any more harm to you. Well, they just disappear and they're gone from this earthly plane. It's a surefire way of not being able to do anything to you. So I think we're going to have to talk about that coming up in another recording. And so, yeah, we'll just leave it at that for today. It's gone half an hour. Seems to be getting longer and longer, talking too much. What did it just say, Matthew, about talking too much? Hey, Psalms 23. Very good prayer to learn. Same as the Our Father's Prayer. I still haven't memorized it. Well, I kind of have almost. But I'm going to read from the Bible, okay? There it is. Right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.